Speak to us, bless our hearts, for in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Would you be gloriously seated? Thank you for the honor of speaking at this conference. I'll be speaking in line with the theme of the conference, and for tonight and for tomorrow, we'll do a two-part teaching session under the topic, Be Ye Transformed. Be ye transformed. We'll be considering a few thoughts. But let me start by saying this. The ministry of the word, for it to be efficient and to produce in the life of the believer, must capture four areas. You may want to write this down. Number one, doctrine. The ministry of the word cannot be efficient and cannot build a believer except and unless these four areas are captured. One, doctrine. Number two, the principles of the kingdom. Number three, wisdom for living. Number four, a word-compliant worldview. So the entire scope of the ministry of the word is to help build the believer along these four areas. One, doctrine. To give you a strong doctrinal foundation. Number two, to help you understand the principles of the kingdom. Matthew 13:11. It has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Number three, wisdom for living. It empowers you to operate within the cosmos intelligently and efficiently. And then number four, it gives you a word-compliant worldview, so that you are able to assess your world from the lens of scripture. And conferences like this provide an opportunity for upgrade. Upgrade in our understanding, upgrade in our perceptions. But it's our responsibility to hear the word, to receive the word, to internalize it, and to engage. The Bible says they heard the word like we did, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So I pray for you in the name of Jesus that the word will profit you. Amen. Are you shouting a believing amen? Amen? It's a prophetic conference, so every word counts and your receiving it counts. Hallelujah. Again, I declare, may the word lift you. Amen. By the power of the word, I pray over you. In faith and in line with Pastor Nat's prophetic word, let it be a new season for you. The word for you will be new. Newness in the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, John 1:12. We'll look at three scriptures and I'll begin to establish a few things for a foundation. John chapter 1 and verse 12. Will we have it projected? Okay, my screen. Beautiful. It says, but as many as received him, he says, to them gave he the power to become. The power to become. The power to become was the gift that he gave them because they received him. He gave them power to become the children of God. There is such a reality as the power to become. Scripture number two. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1 and 2. The verse of emphasis is verse 2. But verse 1, for sake of time, says, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye offer your bodies unto God a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He calls it a reasonable act of service or worship. Then verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. He uses a very interesting word there. It's the Greek word metamorpho, where you get the word metamorphosis. It's a change of state, a change of nature. The best example of that, and I'll talk about that in a moment, is how an insect transits from egg, larva, pupa, and adult. Same insect, but there are features captured in the larva, the pupa, and the adult that you will not find in the egg, even though potential it is there. So the Bible says, be ye transformed. And it tells you how that transformation happens by the renewing of your mind, so that you will prove that which is good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This was a testimony that was given about the radical transformation that they saw in the believers. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. If you'd help us, media. Acts chapter 4 and then verse 13. The Bible says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned or uneducated people. However, they could not deny their exploits. The Bible says, and they marveled, and they realized that the basis of that transformation is that they had been with Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Transformation, let me just give you a general definition. I have found out that in helping people grow, language matters. It's important that you define language and help to structure the meaning of words. I think one of the things that preachers take for granted is the assumption that because they understand what they are saying, that those who hear them understand what they are saying. Hallelujah. Language unifies understanding. And it's important that we structure our learning by defining terminology. So very quickly, I define transformation, and I'll give you two definitions very quickly. Then I'll begin to share a few things. Number one, transformation is a thorough and sometimes dramatic change. A thorough and sometimes dramatic change in the form, appearance, nature, or character of something or someone to produce an improved or a superior version of it. Let me take that again. Transformation is a thorough or sometimes dramatic change in the form, in the appearance, in the nature or the character of something or someone to produce an improved or a superior version of it. So when we talk about transformation, immediately you see that it's a thorough, like we defined, or sometimes a dramatic change in form, appearance, nature, or character of someone or something. And that for the purpose of an improved or superior version. Now, let me give you transformation, the definition as it concerns those who are in the faith. Transformation is the process that evolves or transits a believer to become and manifest like Christ in experience. Transformation is the process that evolves or transits a believer to become and manifest like Christ in experience. Like I said earlier, it comes from the Greek word metamorpho, which means to transfigure, to change nature, to change state. Now, for the purpose of our discussion in this conference, transformation occurs at two levels. Number one, at an individual level, we call that personal transformation. And then number two, at a territorial level, transformation occurs at two levels. Are we following? At an individual level, we call that personal transformation, where you are changed from within. And then number two, your environment now changes to reflect that which has happened within you. Praise the name of the Lord. It occurs at two levels. Number one is personal transformation, when you are the one who is now being transformed. And then number two, territorial transformation, where you become a catalyst or an agent of external change within or around your territories. Now, generally speaking, there is a journey that leads the believer to a point where you become an efficient and effective Christian. And I need to say this so that it ties into what I want to say next. All men are unbelieving or unbelievers or of the sin nature by default. Praise the name of the Lord. Unfortunately, that's the starting point for everyone. Nobody inherits salvation by default. So our starting point is as unbelievers. And then the Bible tells us that through the hearing and believing and receiving of the life of God, and that through the gospel of salvation, a translation happens. Are we following now? From the kingdom of darkness, the Bible says, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the gospel transits you from an unbeliever to become a believer. However, the Bible says, when you come into Christ, you are called a babe. That means although you are in Christ, you are an infant. And there are many things that characterize an infant. One of it is your understanding. One of it is the way you speak, your orientation. It says, as little babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow. An heir, for as long as that heir is a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. So that you are saved is only the initiation of the process, not the totality of your experience. Are we following now? And the Bible teaches us that transitions are possible from that point to become a more efficient and a more effective believer. That even when the seed has been sown, the harvest can be 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. This defines the various experiences of believers. One can operate at a 30-fold dimension of spiritual reality. Another is 60-fold dimension of spiritual efficiency. And yet for another, a 100-fold dimension. Are we following now? This is very powerful. So, transformation is the name given to that journey that transits you from an infant until you become a witness. And the degree to which you submit to that transformative process, that's what will reveal whether you will be an efficient, victorious believer or you'll be one who will be weak, frustrated. Are we together? It is not the will of God. It is not even the love of God. It's the degree to which you submit, how thorough your transformative process is. It will determine the extent of your dominion. Are we together now? The price for dominion is transformation. The price for dominion is not desire. The price for dominion is transformation. The degree to which you submit to this process that evolves you to become like Christ in experience, to manifest the limitless possibilities of the God life in and through you, that is what will determine whether your life will capture dominion and victory in experience or not. If you understand me so far, say amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So it then means there is an answer as to why two believers, genuinely saved, genuinely born again, for the one, he can live a nominal, sometimes frustrated Christian experience, even though he's in Christ. And yet for another, his life will capture invincibility and power and dominion. I'm saying the difference is not the will of God. The difference is not the love of God. The difference is that in addition to that initial salvation experience, one was fortunate either through structured mentorship or the favor of a Bible-believing church. He submitted to a very methodical process of transformation. You see that now? Versus the other who began to freelance his way through the faith life, learning a little of things randomly. He did not enjoy the privilege of having truth line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Think with me for a moment. Let's use the secular educational system. How many of you know that a young man who just throws around any class and just keeps his ear to hear anything, random picking any information, versus one who has the privilege of being sent to a school methodically mentored? Let me ask you a question. If someone told you he's been hanging around a medical faculty and he wants to operate you, he's been hanging around at least here and there, he's picked a lecture, he's not particular, and he can impress you with the vocabulary, would you submit yourself to be operated? Why? Because his knowledge is not structured. It's not structured. How about someone who helped to carry the books in an aviation school to bring it to school? Would you allow him to fly you? So the difference in experience is the degree of transformation. Metamorpho, where a man evolves. You evolve from one dimension to the other. Are we together? When it has to do with the subject of transformation, science, psychology, and religion all agree that a man's reality will be a merciless reflection of the level of your transformation. First mentally, and then as it concerns every area of your life. If you're following me so far, say amen. Amen. So we have believers who are frustrated. We have believers who are ineffective. Some of these believers are preachers, with all due respect. Some of these believers are businessmen. Some of these believers are, you know, aspiring people. And they wonder why life treats them unfairly. And now you'll be learning in the course of this conference that you have a responsibility to make a decision that in the name of Jesus, I will transit from this realm. And it will not just happen because God wants it so. He's always wanted it so. If you understand that you have a responsibility to engage, and you do engage, you will wave your today goodbye and rise to a new height. Let me turn it into a prophetic word and declare over you, you will not find this version of you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, after this conference, you will not find this version of you again. The ignorant version will vanish. The limited version will vanish. There will be a transition in the spirit for you. In the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Very quickly, why transformation? Why transformation? Why is it important for the believer to pay rapt attention and to be invested in the business of transformation? It's important to understand the value of transformation. What do I stand to lose if I do not contend for transformation? You see, being saved gives us access, but transformation brings us into the experience. Salvation brings access. Access is not the same as experience. Are we together now? Yes. Access means the door has been opened for you to step into that experience. But being transformed brings you into that experience. Ephesians 4 and verse 18 makes a very profound statement. He says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Being alienated from the life of God. He's speaking to believers. Being alienated from the experience. Being alienated from the favor that comes with that life. Being alienated from the wisdom, the dominion that comes with that life. Through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Being saved gives us access, but transformation brings you into the reality of the experience of the divine life. Now, let me tell you this. The possibilities of the kingdom are only attracted to a believer depending on what version of you. Let me say it this way. There is a version of you that cannot allow some prayers to be answered. You see that now? Yes, it is inconsistent with God's character for the answer to that prayer to come to that version of you. So one of the major ways God answers prayer is to take away the issue of the prayer and change the one praying, so that you evolve to a version that makes the answer possible. There are certain answers that cannot come to you, not this version of you. In fact, generally speaking, I teach that everything you are looking for in righteousness is also looking for you, but not this version of you. Favor is looking for you as you are looking for it, but it keeps coming around and it cannot find the version it was instructed to rest upon. Is someone learning now? What you call increase, what you call speed, as you are looking for it, it is also looking for you. The reason why it's not rested is because it was instructed to rest on a certain version. And because it keeps coming around and does not find that version. This is powerful. Everything you are looking for is also looking for you. But there is a version of you it's looking for. A more consecrated version. A wiser version. a more responsible version. Are we together now?
Yes.
A prayerful version, a more determined version of you. It is your responsibility to walk in partnership with the Word of God and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to be engaged consistently in this transitory process until you become the version that makes dominion at peace with you. Until you become the version that makes prosperity at peace. Did you know there is a version of you that giving you money is a waste to your reality? Because your mentality and that version of you will trigger a bell in the spirit to interpret your lifting as an error. This is the reason why there are people who promotion is useless to them. Their mindset does not recognize they are promoted, because the mindset still interprets them as level one. Technically, they are level 10. But when the blessings of level 10 comes to a mindset of level one, it will alter your behavior to reduce you back to that level. Then your mind will say, now you are at peace. You see that now? It is true. Many believers seek to increase externally, and they do not know that the real secret is to grow and build from within. There is a version of you, please don't feel insulted, but there is a version of you that a one bedroom will run away from, no matter how humble you are. You are too transited to remain in that reality. There is a version of you. There are instructions connected to every version of us. There are versions of you that the instruction is that you cannot be without help. Not with this level of light. Not with this level of love for God. Not with this level of favor. I can tell you this. As disobedient as the earth is, it is absolutely obedient. It's the version of you that defines those possibilities that look like rebellion. Favor was not designed to follow everybody. Goodness and mercy was not designed to follow everybody. There is an orientation. There is a level of transformation that makes these things come to you. Is someone learning now? And most times in church, and I say this with every sense of responsibility, we do not know the extent of damage we do to our destinies when we fail to submit ourselves methodically to be transformed. Prayer was never supposed to be in isolation with the Word of God. You read the Bible, you never see where a dichotomy was created. It's always been prayer and the ministry of the Word. They go hand in hand. But we seem to have created a divide, either to choose to be prayerful or to choose to press into the Word. Approaching it either ways would lead to consequences. Are we together now? It's always been prayer and then the Word. And that you submit to that transformative process of the Word. Why do I need to submit to transformation? Listen, and please, you write if you care. We contend for transformation as our channel for walking into the experience or the reality of dominion and victory. The reason why we contend for transformation is because it is for us as walking into a door that brings you into the realm of dominion and victory in experience. If you are not transformed, no matter what prophetic word rests on you, I assure you it will never come to pass. Because the window through which the prophetic manifests is not just your faith, but the allowance that your transformation gives it. Your mindset can limit God. Your mindset can limit prophecy. The Bible says they limited God in the wilderness by saying, can God make a table? They limited God. They limited the Holy One of Israel. A man's mentality can limit the power of God. That this is what God intends to do in your life. But something about the way you believe, something about your mental construct. You see that now? So when God wants to help a man, he shortens the distance between you and that which engineers a transformative process. And as you submit yourself to transformation, you find out that things begin to change. Be ye transformed. Be ye transformed. It seems to me like it was almost an instruction. Do not be conformed to this world. Then he says, be ye transformed. You're following so far, say amen. Hallelujah. Now, very quickly, let me walk you through, for the purpose of this first session, what I call the dynamics of transformation. I want to show you how transformation actually happens. The dynamics of transformation. I wrote something here, I'll read it, and then we'll go on with our discussion. Genuine transformation that ends in dominion and victory requires four steps. Genuine transformation, not assumed transformation. Genuine transformation that leaves you with evidence, with proof, is a four-step process. And if you did not get anything I said from the beginning of this discussion, please get this. The four steps that lead to genuine transformation. I submit to you by the integrity of God's word that if you lend me your attention for the next few minutes and you understand this process and submit yourself to it, indeed, you can wave your version today goodbye and it will wave you back. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we following now? Genuine transformation. That leads to dominion and victory requires four steps. Number one, very quickly. For everyone who desires to contend for transformation, the first step is called recognition or awareness. Awareness is a miracle. Recognition or awareness. Coming into the consciousness that you need to be transformed is a miracle itself. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Recognition or awareness is powerful. I don't know what to do, but I know that this state of poverty is not the will of God. Recognition. I don't know my way out, but I know that the way my family is right now, something is wrong. The fact that you are aware something is wrong is a sign your miracle has started. It's called consciousness. The Bible says, the people that sat in darkness. How do you sit in darkness? Darkness is an uncomfortable expression, but to sit in it is that you are not even aware that there is need for change. The Bible says they have seen a great light. That contrast is called differentiation, and that right there is the miracle of transformation at its infancy. The fact that you can be aware that poverty is not good for me. I don't know the way out, but at least the journey has begun. Recognizing the fact that someone can, are we together now? That you are aware that being prayerless is not an advantage. I don't know the dynamics of prayer, but that I am aware. The worst person is not just the person who is ignorant, is the one who is not even aware that your condition should not be the way it is. When it was time for Peter to come out of prison, the Bible says a number of things happened there. Number one, it says that the angel came into the prison. Number two, he said light shone into the prison. My question is, why did light come in? Because, I mean, the angel was there. It was about chains, not ignorance. But the Bible says light also came into the prison. Many of us are not yet aware, and this is why conferences like this are important. Beyond information, it starts by giving you awareness. Knowledge is useless to the person who does not appreciate contrast. Are we together now? Yes. There is what we call in optics color blindness, where you do not have capacity to differentiate colors. There's a level of beauty you cannot see and appreciate. Your mind sees everything in black and white, for an example. You can't see green, you can't see yellow. So when you hear someone appreciating yellow, that reality does not exist in your mind because there is a deficiency in your perception. Are we together now? Do you know that a victorious life is better than a defeated life? Do you know that you are a better Christian if you serve God when you are prosperous? Do you know? Are we together now? That the Bible says the path of the just should be as a shining light. I'm bringing you into an awareness first. Awareness is the first key. Many believers cannot contend for transformation because they are not even aware of that state of decadence and decline. The first key is awareness, a consciousness. in marketing, when you want to introduce a product into an environment, the first thing you do is to make the people see the need for that product. Am I right on that? Else they will not appreciate the value of that product, and it can also affect your pricing. Am I right on that, business people? So when you come into a market and you find out that people do not have an awareness, you use advertisement, and the goal is to be able to show you how improved your life can be, and they use all kinds of the skill of imagery, and at the end of it they let you know that if your child does not eat this kind of biscuit, he's losing vitamin A, B, C, and A. And you find people running, they don't know they've been hijacked by that advertisement until they get to the mall. They say, give me that green one. I don't know the name, but I know they've told me that it has vitamin A, B, and C. You see, if you want to change people and you want to get their attention, it's important for them to see. You are going to have to use the power of the word of God to help them see how superior their lives can be if they submit themselves to transformation. A more consecrated, wealthier, more refined, more responsible you is certainly better than this version of you. And if you think you've made progress, I commend you. But don't forget, even in heaven, there is still room for more. He said, come up hither. He was already caught up in heaven. And after he saw everything, Revelations 1:2, he said, come up hither and I will show you. There are still higher dimensions to get to. Who is receiving it in the name of Jesus? Apostle, but I think I'm prosperous. The question is how much? Until you can give to the kingdom without it affecting you, you are not yet there. There is a standard, so keep pressing. Are we together now? Yes. Apostle, I love Jesus with all my heart. How far? How much? Apostle, I'm anointed. How much? Until the day you can speak and with one word, you open the two lift gates of nations. You are not yet there. Keep pressing. Is someone learning now? I like Paul. Paul said, this one thing I do, Pastor. He says, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth for the things that are before me. He says, I press. Repeat after me. Say, I press. I press. Mentally, I press. In prayer, I press. Spiritually, I press. In giving, I press. As I learn, I press. All through the sessions, I'm pressing. It doesn't look like I'm moving, but I'm moving. I'm pressing. Can I tell you? No baby is aware that it is growing until you use pictures to look at your former self. You're not even aware you've grown till you look at your pre-COVID photos and you are like, my goodness, when did this happen? The key is to press. The key is the consistency. Every day counts. Every prayer counts. Every giving counts. Every worship counts. Every church service counts. Who is learning now? It's an aggregate of your consistency. It counts. Counts. The pounded yam counts. The rice counts. The bonds you took quickly, it counts. It's still building you. For good or for bad, it counts. Drinking water or not drinking water counts. The fasting counts. The laziness counts. The everyday prayer counts. Come on now. The coming to church counts. The consistency counts. I pray for you in the name of Jesus Christ. May you begin an intentional transformative journey that evolves into a mighty man, a mighty woman in the spirit and in destiny. We believe that, shout amen. So the first key to transformation is recognition, awareness, question. Is this the best of you? You have to ask yourself intelligent questions. Pastor spoke about that. Is this the best of me? Is this the most prayerful version of me? Is this the most anointed version of me? Is this the most favor attracting version of me? Is this the most spiritually enlightened version of me? As a man of God, is this the greatest of my capacity in terms of the weight of the word, the weight of the glory of God, the weight of the power of God, the investment of the wisdom of God. When you ask the right questions, truly, that's one of the values of wisdom. The Bible says, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with wisdom. My question for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is that, is this the greatest version of you? No. No. If your answer is no, it means the spirit of wisdom is working in you. No. Is this the most prosperous version of me? Is this the greatest version of Elevation Church? As wonderful as God, have you not read in your Bible? Oh, goodness. It says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, but that God has revealed them to us. There are dimensions, ladies and gentlemen. He said, there is a path which no fowl has seen. The whelps of the lion has not gotten there. No matter how great you are, there are still virgin dimensions in destiny. And it will take a transformed you to get there. Say, I press. I press. Worship team, say, I press. I press. Usher, say, I press. I press. Businessmen in this church, say, I press. You've not yet gotten to the level where you override the budget of the Accelerate Assembly. So still press. You are doing well, but press. I commend you, but press. The prayer team, press. 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 That's a word you should carry for the remaining part of this conference. Listen. Be careful. There are people who love you too much. They won't allow you grow. They are too quick to commend you. You are so excellent. You sang a song and it was wonderful, but you went off key many times. And they say, you know how wonderful this song is. In fact, if you don't grow it, no. Love people, but you must be disciplined enough to be brutally honest with yourself when you want to grow. Hallelujah. Is someone learning? Recognition. Let me give you the remaining three, because I want us to use the last 5 minutes to pray. If you're learning, say amen.
Amen.
Recognition. Awareness. Number two, the second key to transformation is access to superior information. Access to superior information. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is the vehicle that transits you in destiny and in the spirit. Access to superior information. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, it says God made many lights, but he made two great lights. Please listen. There were many lights, but he made two great lights. One of these to rule the day, and the other, he says, to rule the night. Then he says he made the stars also. The Bible, speaking about celestial bodies, it says even among the stars, one differeth from another, not in size, in glory. Don't say you have light. What degree of light? There is a level of light that can turn night to become day. There is a level of light that is barely enough for you to see. You will still be aware it is night. Are we together now? There are floodlights that are used in the stadium. Sometimes you even forget that you are holding the meeting in the night because of the level of illumination. So do not tell me you have light. To what degree? To what degree? The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1, it says, arise, amplified from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new light. Then it says, for darkness shall cover the earth, is the Hebrew expression, tohu wa bohu, confusion and chaos, and gross darkness the people. It says, but upon you the glory of the Lord shall arise. Now here it is. It says, Gentiles shall come to your light. But their kings will not come to your light. They will come to the brightness. The brightness of your rising. I'll tell you this. Most believers do not know how to source for superior spiritual information. Superior spiritual information. For example, the law had a measure of light, but he could not save. The Bible called it a schoolmaster. He was not irrelevant, but he could not produce a final job. Are we together now? Jesus came as light. He came as the end of the law. He came to complete that which the law could not do. Light. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, even financially speaking, and just for an example, you can ask someone, what do you know about finances? He can tell you giving, wonderful. He can tell you business, wonderful. But that person has limited light. You now speak with another person and he will engineer your understanding of finances. He will bring you superior information. Ask someone spiritually, how do you grow? He will say, prayer, you are right. It's a level of light. Fasting, you are right. Bible study, you are right. But another person will bring dimensions of this for you. You see that now? This is powerful. Many, many believers are not able to rise to certain levels. I tell you this with all due respect, because the measure of light they have is not bright enough to drive darkness. A little here and there, a little knowledge on prayer, a little knowledge on fasting, a little knowledge on giving, a little knowledge on faith, a little knowledge on demons and how to walk in victory, a little knowledge on the grace of God, a little knowledge on leadership. When you put all of that light together, it's like a torchlight. And then they step into thick darkness and want to use that torchlight. How many of you know that every time you are driving in the night, one of the most important components is your headlight, not the color of your car. Whether the color of your car is green, whether the make of your car, whether it's a Bentley, whether it's a Rolls Royce, if it does not have lights that night, just know you are in trouble. Someone with a functional Golf, and you know that some of these our cars, they can accelerate the lights. Praise God. Have you seen our transport people do that? You can see a Golf having the light of a truck. How they do it, leave it to them and God. You think it's a truck coming and you shift only to find out that it's a small... Now, that's a good analogy and is needed for your destiny. No matter how small you are, carry high-level light. High-level light. High-level light. High-level light. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 1:5, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Comprehended it not. Comprehended it not. It says, for the word of Christ to dwell in you richly, richly, richly. Colossians 3:16, I believe. In all wisdom. Brothers and sisters, we must contend for light. We must kill the arrival mentality and submit ourselves again. Thank God for this conference. From tonight and all through the sessions, let your hearts be open, ready for upgrade. Let your hearts be enlarged. Are we together? Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. I'll give you the remaining two very quickly. Shamando sabrakatu siata. Access to superior information. In Jesus' name. Number three. The third step to transformation is building conviction. Building conviction. You internalize the truths that you now know so that they become a functional part of you. The word epignosis is a very profound word. The word epignosis is beyond awareness. Epignosis is the root word where you get the translation intercourse, where you and that knowledge become one. The knowledge is not a foreign entity in you. It has become part of your life. So let me give you an example of epignosis. When you pick, say, rice or swallow, by the time you are taking it in, it is a foreign material entering you, or foreign whatever. Are we, is that true? But by the time digestion happens, what happens now? It becomes inseparable. It literally becomes one with you. It can, through your blood, it can be tested. The presence of that thing can be tested. It started with your mouth, but it ended in your blood. When you swallow a drug, you pick the drug and swallow it, and after a few hours, they literally can test your blood and find that drug roaming around your blood. You see, that's where the description epignosis comes from. And that's where conviction comes. You are not trying to believe. It has become a part of you. It has become a stronghold in your mind. Victory thinking, stronghold. Are we together? Let me say this sincerely. At the risk of sounding proud, I'm sorry if I do. There is a way I cannot think again. I'm not trying to not think that way. It's been a re-engineering. If God wants to bless 10 people, I start praying for the remaining 9. Honestly, I start praying for the remaining 9 because the first spot is already taken. I've been indoctrinated about his jealousy and his love for me. I am aware of it. I'm not trying to believe, but I know whom I believed, and I am the next level persuaded. You started by trying to believe, but now you are persuaded. Persuaded. If I look at this man and I tell you, sir, you are a woman, will you cry, sir? Will you go back and verify in the mirror? You just look at me and hope I find a doctor fast. Am I right? Because there are too many activities in your life that have made it a stronghold that you are a man. That's what conviction is. It must go past the realm of information to become a belief system. Victory can be a belief system. Are we together now? That no matter what happens in your life, your disposition is already fixed. There is something in your mind. If it seems like things are not working the way they should go, you don't suddenly change. No, it's what is around you that may change. But you are already, it's like you are fixated. There is a thought line. Your mind cannot think outside of it. For an example, I interpret everything in my life from the lens of the goodness of God. I can't think otherwise. The lens of the goodness of God. God's jealousy has been too invested in me to ever think he will act in a way that does not profit me. So I look at everything, not from those external things. They are transient, they change. My heart has been anchored on the goodness of God, the jealousy of God, the love of God. Did you know that's the cure to fear? The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, meaning fear is a gift. It can be received. Many receive the gift. It says, but of love. Look at the tripartite spiritual forces that deal with fear. The awareness of the love of God, the outworkings of the power of the Holy Ghost, and a sound or a transformed mind. He loves me. For me, it's not a song. For me, it's not a memory verse. It's become a stronghold, defended by the presence of the Holy Spirit in my mind. So as I walk around, I know that I am the beloved of God. It's not a scripture verse, this chapter, this. It's my mindset. Do you understand that now? Yes, sir. So when I read a song like, my beloved is the most beautiful among thousands and thousands. My beloved is the most glorious among thousands and thousands. You see, there is a way you can sing this song and your mind is replying you back. You are lying, because it's not conviction. It's call and response in worship. The worship leader raised the song and you are trying to follow. Is someone learning now? I'm showing you how transformation happens. I am victorious every day of my life. It's my destiny, it's my heritage in Christ. I am the redeemed of the Lord. Therefore, I say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the lifted of the Lord say so. Let the anointed of the Lord say so. Let the glorified of the Lord say so. Say so. Listen, this journey of conviction, your heart and your mouth, these are the twin combo that make this a reality. Psychology, science, religion agree that repetition, not truthfulness, is what creates persuasion. You repeat a lie, your mind will forget it was a lie. It will incorporate it as a stronghold. Is someone learning? So you get up in the morning, the Lord is my light and my salvation. It's a journey. It won't start in one day. Don't mind Satan trying to play with your mind and say, who is speaking? Leave that for Pastor Godman. You in this one room, from where thou art, lift up your eyes. Not where you want to go, where you are, from where you are, in death, from where thou art. Is someone learning now? In the name of Jesus Christ, the hand of God is upon my life. I go from glory to glory, grace to grace. The gates of the nations open for me by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. I'm showing you how to become one with the Word by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The favor of God rests upon me. In the name of Jesus, my path is as a shining light. I shine brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Listen, it's important to speak. Growing old will not be a curse for me. He keepeth my bones and none is broken. Are we together? No. 50 will not be a curse for me. 60 will not be a curse for me. In the name of Jesus, like Caleb, I will still be strong, well able to take mountains for Jesus. My mind is fruitful. In the name of Jesus. Metamorpho, be transformed. Listen, do you know, while you are saying this, do you know confessing the word is warfare? Because the truth you are receiving will meet giants already in your mind. These giants were programmed from birth. So there is a contention. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're about to pray. The weapons of our warfare, that's the scripture, are not carnal, but personal. They are mighty through God. He said, through the pulling of what? Then it says, casting down every, is the Greek word yetzar, imaginations. Did you read in Genesis 11 that this they begin to do? Nimrod, Cush, gather the people. He said, go to come. Let us build a tower whose top will reach the heavens. They had not started. The Bible says in verse 4 that God came to see the city which the sons of men had builded. It was finished in the spirit. And he said, this that they begin to do, and now nothing. God was not mentioned. Satan was not mentioned. The Holy Spirit was not mentioned. It was just the power that a man believed. Whether that's a spiritual reality or physical, is not as important as the fact that God saw that something was rising. Can I tell you, everything is built twice. It's first built in the spirit, then it's built in the physical. You don't have a visa, but you can travel with the Holy Ghost to the ends of the earth. No immigration officer can stop that one. I don't know about you, but this mouth you see intends to work in partnership with the Holy Ghost for a long time. A long time. I won't die before my time. No, this is not out of fear. This is being responsible. Is someone learning now? Conviction. Conviction. You get up every morning and you speak. Rather than complaining, use your energy. Speak in the name of Jesus. My children blessed. My home blessed. You are driving on your way to work. Don't allow the devil manipulate you using everything, traffic, and you are wasting your energy exchanging insults with someone. No, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, spiritualize your mind. As I go for this board meeting, the intelligence of the Spirit is at work in me. In the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you know confessing the word is one of the ways we resist the devil. Saying Satan go is not the only way to resist the devil, because you resist the devil by also dismantling his infrastructure. When you drive a spirit away and you leave the infrastructure, you only created space for the return of that spirit. I'm the redeemed of the Lord. I'm a child of God, marvelously helped by God. the hand of God is at work in my life. Elevation, when you get up in the morning, that's how to speak. The glory of God is upon us. It's a new season. Now that you've heard a prophetic word, don't just dance around and say, wow, Pastor Nat brought a prophetic word. Pastor brought a prophetic word. This charge I give unto you, my son Timothy, that you war a good warfare. The way you war it is to agree with it. You don't say amen by saying amen. You say amen by standing in the position of the word concerning your life. Let me give you number four. Who is learning? Be ye transformed. So number one, recognition and awareness. And it's the Holy Ghost that helps a man to come into such an awareness. Number two, access to superior information. You need enlightenment. The labor of the word. The labor of the word. My brothers and my sisters, go for the word. Pay the price. Study scripture and study word compliant materials. There are three ways to engage the word according to scripture. Number one, you study it to show yourself approved. Number two, you listen to it because faith comes by hearing. Number three, you speak it. These are the ways the Bible defines that we engage with the word. Number three, you build conviction by internalizing those truths so that they move from an information to a belief system. And the sponsor of that transition is meditation and confession. Meditation and confession. I like the fact that Pastor spoke about his experience when, before he became a Christian. It is true. Born and bred in the north, I understand exactly what he said. You find little children, little Muslim children, way before they have any secular education, they have certain chants that become a stronghold in their mind. It will take the power of God. That's the reason why even when that person gets born again, it has to take aggressive investment in the word to dismantle those strongholds. Can I tell you the truth? I am personally convinced that the presence of a spirit, a demonic spirit, is not as dangerous as the presence of a wrong belief system. Because with one confession, a spirit can live, but it takes concerted effort to break down the walls that wrong belief systems have. That is the reason why false teaching is worse than false prophecy. If you prophesy falsely, all I need is to hear the truth. And I say, okay, carry your trouble and go. But once you reprogram my mind, number four, the fourth stage is application and conformity. Application and conformity to the truth. He says, now that you know these things, happy or blessed are you if you do them. It's not enough to know. They heard the word just like we did. But the Bible says the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. What is faith? The name given to your action of obedience as proof that you believe God and is in the integrity of his word. Faith is beyond believing. Believing is part of the process of faith. But believing alone is not faith. Faith is an equation. Believing is part of that equation of faith. Many people say, I am believing God. And they are being honest, but it never manifests. You see that now? Because it's not faith that is coming. It's faith that has arrived that brings miracles. Is someone learning? Application. Pastor, many believers would have their lives changed if they made up their minds to apply the truths that they learn. With all due respect, we write in church, we jot in church, but many times we never go back to listen. It's the reason why every time you're wrapping up a service, on your way going home, you must obtain the doing grace. There is such a thing as the doing grace. The capacity to do. There is the enabling grace or the doing grace. You do the doing, but it's not by the energy of the flesh. Application. Transformation cannot happen until you apply the truth. When you hear the truth that there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, there is he that withholdeth more than is meet and tends to penury, hearing and knowing and even reciting it is not where the victory comes. It is engaging it. when you hear that the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous man availeth much, knowing it and cramming the verse is profitable, but not enough to bring you dominion until you actually engage. When you hear scriptures like, from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture, which is able to make you wise, even unto salvation. Knowing it and quoting it, even teaching and preaching it, does not bring victory. Let me pause for a moment and speak with all due respect to servants of the living God. We must obtain grace from God to also do the word while we teach it. Because the result will not come from us teaching it. The result will come from us being practitioners of the same. If we teach giving, we must give. If we teach prayer, we must pray. You see that now? Yes. The doing part is what distinguishes hearers and knowers from those who become possessors of that reality. My charge for you in this first session is that it will take you being aware, contending for light, pressing through consistency until you get to a point of conviction and obtaining grace to do. Joshua 1 verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, not just observe to think, not just observe to say, observe to do. He says, then you shall make your ways prosperous. Can we rise up and lift up our hands to heaven? Did you learn anything tonight? For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. My time is up. Would you lift your hands in 1 minute and cry unto the God of your salvation? Ask the Lord to give you that encounter. We'll end up, I'm going to plead with Pastor Nat to blow, since he's here. I'm honored to be ministering with him here again. But I want you to pray. It's a prophetic service. And so we'll end up by just speaking and blowing into your destiny. But would you lift your hands to heaven? Please pray. All over the expression centers, would you lift your voice? Now is your time to participate, whether you are within the nation or across the, you know, the regions of the world. There's no distance, no barrier in the spirit. Please lift your voice and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, I press. Let that be your word. Let that be your word for tonight. I press. I press. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray illumination. By the power of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, I press. In the name of Jesus Christ. Here's the instruction I want to give you. I'm going to plead with Pastor Nat. We're out of time. My apologies for stretching beyond the time allotted. And for every time he's going to blow, all I want you to shout is, I receive. I receive by faith. Now, this is what you are saying. You are saying, amen. You are saying, I align. I begin this transformative journey. For some of you, whilst you are saying, I receive, what you are receiving is the staying power, the grace, some to pray, the grace, some to fast, the grace, some to take the house of God seriously, the grace, some to invest in materials, quality materials that make for your spiritual enrichment. Are you ready now? So with the blast of the trumpet, you shout, I receive. We'll do that 3 times. I speak over your life and we're done. Yes, sir. Zababakata brakata balakosiata, branteka barantosiata. The grace that transitions you to a new dimension in the spirit. Now go ahead and pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Shababakata brakata brakatos.
I contend for transformation. I obtain power from the Spirit. I obtain power from the Word. I fight ignorance in the name of Jesus. Wrong belief systems, you come under arrest by the power of the Holy Ghost. I am becoming by the Spirit, becoming by the Word. A more superior version of me is emerging from tonight, from through this week, in the name of Jesus. A weak version is giving way for a strong version. A mighty warrior is rising. An entrepreneur is rising. Dominion is rising. Victory is rising. Courage, confidence is rising. Ignorance is giving way for light, for knowledge, high level spiritual illumination. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. So make up your mind that from tonight until this conference is ended, see it as a period of retreat. In the morning, in the evening, you are attending, you are praying, you are pressing, you are listening, you are receiving, crying but listening, celebrating but listening, you are writing, you are inclining your hearts to learning. I assure you, in the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, if you so engage at the end of this conference, you will not find this version of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Allow me for 1 minute to do the altar call. Is it all right, sir? Praise God. Let's all stand if we're able to. When God gathers us like this, it is not just for transformation. It is also for salvation, because he desires first that all men be saved, and then the ones who are saved would now come unto the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. The unbeliever does not need transformation. He needs regeneration. He needs a transition, literally, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Perhaps you are in this place and on hearing Pastor preach, Pastor Nathaniel Bassi minister, and myself, the Holy Ghost began to convict you that it is possible to have not just a more superior version, but a brand new version. Because the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, it says such a one is a new creation, that the old has gone and behold, all things have become new. I don't want to take for granted that in this gathering we have everyone saved, because God adds daily as many as should be saved. So I want to lend my voice with the angel over this house to make an altar call. Perhaps you are in this place, scattered across and across the various viewing and expression centers. It's the same call reaching to you. You are in this place and you are saying, Apostle, Pastor Godman, would you give me a chance to make it right with Jesus? Or you are saying, I desire to rededicate my heart. I'm going to count 1 to 5. Wherever you are, I'm looking for a bold and sincere person who is not ashamed. You are determined to make it right this time around. You've attended similar conferences through the years, but you did not yield to be born again. Here is your chance. As I count 1 to 5, I'd like you to leave your seat as fast as you can and come stand right before me. I'm looking for the first person, a sincere person. I begin my counting. 1. Elevation Church, can we celebrate salvation? God bless you, my brother. Is it all right if they come to the front? 2. Let's celebrate them as they come. I see you coming. I see you coming. Come on. Elevation Church, let's celebrate salvation. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. 3. Keep coming. I still see a brother coming. Make haste. Come. God bless you. God bless you. Who else is joining them? Who else is winning that war finally tonight? 4. Keep clapping until the 5th count. Hallelujah. Let me speak to the camera for 1 moment. For someone who is watching by way of television, or you're watching by way of the internet, whatever platform, We're ministering here at the Accelerate Conference, and this is the altar call. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Perhaps in your home, you're watching through your device, through your television at home. The Bible says in the day that you hear his voice, it says to harden not your heart. And so I charge you and encourage you that you make this decision alongside these dear ones as I lead them in prayer. Wherever you are, Jesus is standing right there with you. And as you make this decision, it begins your process of transition and transformation to live a victorious life and a life of dominion. For those of you who are in front here, I salute you in the name of Jesus Christ. May I request that you lift your right hand, make it as high as possible, high above your head. Then you say this after me as loud as you are able to. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I declare that I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. Tonight, I confess that you are my Lord, my Savior, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Keep those beautiful hands. Let me pray. By the authority of Scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. The grace to live the victorious Christian life is imparted upon you. You go from glory to glory, grace to grace, and it's in Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Amen and amen. Someone direct me. Okay, so here is what I'll ask you to do. Please, would you move to my right? That will be your left from where you are standing. There are counselors who have been trained to have a word with you and a quick prayer. And those of you who are online, I believe there will be a QR code or a link for you to reach so that officials would follow up on you. The Lord bless you and see you all tomorrow in Jesus' name.